Microsoft announced their fiscal 21 Q3 earnings last night, and there's some definite key takeaways relative to things that they're clearly focused on, which I'm going to get to. But if you just look at the numbers, not surprisingly, they had another very strong quarter. Okay, in fact, it was the biggest, from a growth perspective, biggest growth quarterly since 2018. They exceeded analyst estimates on the top and bottom lines, as well as the revenue guidance that they gave. So revenue of $41.7 billion, up 19%. That's total revenue. Where we're focused is enterprise, commercial business, right? So commercial cloud revenue, $17.7 billion, up 33%. So to give you a perspective, a year ago, they were sitting at $13.3 billion from commercial cloud revenue perspective. Not only was that better than expected, their gross margin actually went up about 3 points. So their commercial cloud, the gross margin there is 70%. And when you think commercial cloud, think of Office 365, Microsoft 365, LinkedIn, Dynamics, Azure, so forth and so on. Now, the commercial remaining performance obligation, right, the outer year booked revenue is $117 billion, which is up 31%. Okay, so that's significant, especially customers that are perhaps considering a five-year deal versus a three-year deal. That those outer years mean something to them, obviously, but quite honestly, it's growing at a 31% clip already. So let's drill into their three business units, if you will. So you got productivity and business processes, $13.6 billion, up 15%. They pointed out that that's driven primarily from the Office 365 and LinkedIn successes in Q3. For Office 365, the commercial revenue was up 22%. And that was driven largely by one, seat growth. Seat growth was up 15%. And they grew the revenue per user, right? So Amy Hood, CFO, pointed out that demand for higher value security, compliance, and value offerings drove strong momentum to E5 again in the quarter. So, right? So when you think about revenue per user going up, think about pushing organizations to do more robust additions, i.e. E5, F5. And it could, that could be the Office 365 E5, Microsoft 365 E5. The point is they're successfully moving customers to the more robust options, which cost more per user. And they're using the value tied to security and compliance specifically to motivate those adoptions. Satya himself said that, look, the strength of our security offerings are clearly what's leading people to E5. Organizations that we work with, that's certainly the case. But the question becomes is, do you need all of it? Or do you need a piece like Defender, Azure, you know, Active Directory, P2? Like, what is the thing you need? Because perhaps you shouldn't jump to the E5 bundle because there's problems, obviously, if it proves not to be true, right? Decoupling is very difficult. Now, on LinkedIn revenue was up 25%. Okay, they actually forecast that revenue is going to go maybe be around 30 to mid-30s in growth in Q4. So they're continuing to see and expect continued ramping of growth on LinkedIn. A lot of organizations right there that we're working with, it's very siloed. But if you think about things holistically, there's opportunity, even if there may be growth that you're going to give Microsoft, there's opportunities to take that as leverage for the larger discussion. And then the last part of productivity and business process that I want to cover is D365, Dynamics 365, growth of 45%, revenue growth of 45%. And the bottom line is Satya made a point to say this, and it was very intentional. They're continuing to take share from their competition. Salesforce, ERP, Oracle, SAP, ERP, they're taking share from their competition. And I fully expect this. I mean, the deals that we're working on, customers that we're talking to, I continue to see this as part of the conversation. If it's not just a piece of D365, there's organizations that are thinking about rolling out fundamentally all of it. The point is, I further and continue to see that happening. Now, the next business unit is Intelligent Cloud, $15.1 billion, up 23%. It's largely tied to Azure. Azure revenue was up 50%, which is better than they expected. But it is flat from last quarter, Q2. And if you think about Q3 of last year, the growth was at 59%. Now, obviously, we're talking about astronomical growth percentages, but it is important to pay attention to that. Obviously, on top of that, you have to pay attention to it because AWS, GCP are sitting out there as well. And Satya mentioned the fact, at the end of the day, they've set themselves up where they don't need all of it. There's abundance out there. The hybrid component to it, they get. The other thing that I wanted to point out when you talk about Intelligent Cloud, that business unit, is that they did note enterprise services revenue was up 10%. But the interesting point, which I think will resonate for many of you, is that it was driven by growth in Premier Support Services. Now, it's interesting that they use the word Premier Support, since most of you understand that that's gone. It's unified support. It's changed to a percentage of net model. I can't stress enough, there's a lot of organizations that have those not coterminous, that aren't fully negotiating. There's room to improve on those. But as you can see, they are relying on those contracts now, making a point that those contracts are driving revenue overall within this business unit. The last business unit is more personal computing, that's Surface, Xbox, so forth and so on, but it's also Windows commercial and cloud services revenue was up 10%. The thing I want to highlight here is, and they make a note of this, it's like every quarter they note this, it's vastly tied to the fact that they're pushing customers to the Microsoft 365 bundle because Windows is tethered to that through that bundle. So again, 10% growth, but think of it more in growth that's ultimately being driven by, again, Microsoft 365, the bundle. Okay, Q4 guidance. Amy Hood made a point to bring the conversation back to Satya's opening comments. Digital adoption curves aren't slowing down, right? Satya made it led with this. They're not slowing down. In fact, he said, digital adoption is accelerating and it's just the beginning. And it's just the beginning is the key point. But when Amy Hood is talking about guidance, right, she goes back to that accelerating trend that Satya called out. But she also mentions the differentiated market position and continued solid execution to result will lead to another strong quarter. They know the trends. They know how they're positioned to it. They're putting markers out there to the public that they only consider this the beginning. They're going to continue to see accelerated growth, putting up revenue numbers that are beating expectations top and bottom line, 20% growth numbers, 33% commercial cloud. I mean, these are astronomical growth percentages. They're saying that this is just the beginning. So here's some of the things that they focused on that I want to call out that is very important, right? Beyond just the obvious Microsoft 365, beyond Azure, of course, but there's three to four things that they talked about that were really important. It's intentional why they called it out. Number one, Power Platform, okay? Power BI, Power Apps, Power Automate. Revenue in that area increased 84% year over year. 84%. But what was said is more important ultimately. So the number one thing is, it was pointed out that they have a unique approach and an expansive and high growth total available market is tied to this Power Platform. They know there's a big total available market. They believe that their approach, their solutions are going to be able to go get and pull in dollars. But they look at Power Platform and the way that they're pitching and talking about Power Platform, the solutions that are under that, as a next generation business process automation and productivity suite for domain experts. But here's the thing that Satya pointed out, right? He went as far to say, just like Office revolutionized productivity gains for knowledge workers, Power Platform will do the same for domain experts. So that's a pretty powerful statement. And I fully expected him seeing a more aggressive approach by Microsoft to push parts of the Power Platform, whether it's Power Apps, Power BI, Power Automate, into organizations' portfolios, right? They can do it through the Microsoft 365 bundle because there's components, Power BI, Power Apps in that. But the way they're really going to do it, and the next, it ties to the next key item, which is industry clouds. Microsoft Cloud for retail, healthcare, manufacturing, financial services, nonprofit. This is the thing. This is where their focus is, where all the other enterprise vendors are focused as well. But here's what Satya said. We can now bring the power of the entire cloud together in a more strategic way. We can now do it. And that's how they're pitching it, right? And I fully expect this to only continue to advance. They want, obviously, more pieces to the pie, more pieces to the portfolio. But those pieces are Microsoft 365, Dynamics, Azure, LinkedIn, Power Platform. If you're manufacturing, HoloLens. If you're retail, Bing. Expanding our investments to help organizations use our complete tech stack along with industry-specific customizations to improve time to value, increased agility, and lower costs. That's how they're pitching it. These industry clouds are collectively pulling this all together. It's the integration, it's the power of the integration that comes with all of their solutions, which now, through their investments, including buying a company like Nuance, which obviously benefits the healthcare cloud, but they're going to roll out the AI and speech recognition technology into all of it, of course. But this is where they're going to continue to focus. And it's clear. It was clear before the earnings call last night. I covered this yesterday in my webinar, right? There was a topic afterwards I got a lot of questions about. They have add-on features for healthcare. Do they have a complete bundle that they're selling right now? No. Are they pitching that as a vision? Is that where it's going? Absolutely. So the more you keep purchasing of their tech stack, the more you become sticky, which allows them to continue to increase their own leverage to get more from you as they continue to decide what you should also be using. Two more things. Number one, security. Talked about it earlier. Spent a lot of time talking about security and compliance and their ability to deliver that for their customers. The strength of those offerings, that's what's pushing people to E5. I just want to call that again because it was mentioned a lot throughout the earnings call. I guarantee you, if you have not moved to E5 yet, access to your CISO, driving conversations around security and compliance and why their solutions are the best and why not think about E5 are going to be part of your conversations. Most, though, probably don't need to move to E5 or at least the all-in bundle E5. Lastly, Teams. Hybrid work will require a new operating model. Keyword there by Satya, right? Teams as an operating model. That's why we built Teams as the organizing layer for all the ways people work, learn, and collaborate. Again, Teams is not just a chat or video tool. Satya himself, operating model. It's also about the integration that comes with Teams. And by the way, it doesn't have to be with their own solutions. He mentioned the number of organizations with more than 1,000 users integrating their third-party and line-of-business apps with Teams. So he says third-party, he's talking Salesforce, ServiceNow, Workday, SAP, Oracle. The number of organizations that have over 1,000 users that are integrating that way with Teams has increased nearly 3x year over year. That's the point. Understand that Teams is not just a competitor to Zoom and Google Hangouts and WebEx. It's an operating model. It's sticky. It's tethering. It's increasing utilization of other products. It's creating the integration, not only to their own solutions, but to other solutions. So again, another strong quarter, a lot of key takeaways that organizations need to understand and take into account as they prepare for or hope they're complete, perhaps, their renewal negotiations.